and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, come on. Can't we change the birth certificate thing so Arnold Schwarzenegger can get in the race for Republican? Come on! We just lost one ridiculous womanizing blowhard yesterday. Can't we please? The Trump out.
Yeah, boy.
Oh. Now we know what things of this nature are.
We certainly do.
To that story in just a minute. In the meantime, Barbara in D.C. wants to wish Joe, the love of her life, a happy 20th anniversary. Thank you for all the ponies, rainbows, ice cream, and the uniform that farts glitter.
Isn't that unicorn, not uniform.
Oh, that'd be different.
That is different.
All right, sorry, kids. Happy anniversary. If you want to sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. Maybe that's what happened in the Schwarzenegger marriage. He forgot the uniform, the unicorn that farts glitter.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's necessary for any happy marriage.
Hasta la vista to my reputation and things of this nature.
All right, we'll get to that story. Many people may have just woken up. They're, why, Steph, what are you talking about? Just a little bit of breaking news out here in California. We'll get to in the meantime. But speaking of breaking news, holy crap, Chicago! We did it again, I think.
Yeah.
I think we set a box office record at the Chicago Theater yesterday. You know what I think?
What?
I think a lot of mama cities are a little competitive, a little jealous, and mama loves you all. You're all pretty cities, and mama loves all of you. But we broke box office records in Madison, I think in Durham, in Minneapolis, in Boston, in Raleigh-Durham, and Chicago yesterday. I'm told that was fairly unprecedented. Chicago, we are playing Sexy Liberal Show. When is it? Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I keep hitting the wrong buttons in my box. I'm so excited.
Oh, no. Huh.
Gay Pride Weekend, Saturday, June 25th, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. And yesterday, I guess, the box office exploded. I think we sold over 1,000 seats in, like, I don't know, the first...
There was shrapnel all over State Street.
Yes, apparently.
And a little bit on Lake, too.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. On the east side. Okay.
Well, Lake Street.
Yeah, yes. I got a lot of emails about me being right. There is an east side of Chicago, and I you know, it you don't give it the respect the title to. Why can't you treat it like any stranger on the street?
What people were describing as the East Side Chicago is referred to as the South Side of Chicago. Nobody calls it the East Side.
Eli writes, Steph, there are 77 official neighborhoods in Chicago. Technically, they're referred to as community areas. They were designated in the 1920s by a group of social scientists from the University of Chicago. Community Area 52 is East Side. You can read more about it here. Steph is right. Chris is wrong. What else is new?
And Jim.
Yeah. All right. I bet you the entire east side of Chicago is going to be at this show.
Ah.
All right, anyway, get your tickets fast at the box office at Chicago Theater or at Ticketmaster. Right. And don't forget, Raleigh-Durham up next Saturday, June 4th, Minneapolis Saturday, June 18th, Chicago, of course, June 25th, and Boston Saturday, July... Saturday, July 16th in Boston. Okay.
And you know what?
I'm not hyperbolizing that tickets are going fast.
They are going fast, yes. Technically, I guess the Chicago Theater would be on the east side of Chicago because it's on the east side of State Street,
yes,
which is the dividing line.
Yes.
So,
Roland writes, we've accomplished amazing things in Chicago. I'll be putting Soldier's Field on hold for the return engagement.
Oh, good.
Thank you, Roland.
Soldier Field.
He's on it. Soldier.
Yes.
Field.
It's not Soldier's Field.
All right. A little bit of breaking news out here in California.
A little bit.
California. Well, here with me and Maria.
I don't think you'd heard about it until I
had not.
Until you got here,
said,
I told you.
If I heard the news, I don't know which news you meant. Despite getting up at
insane o'clock.
I sometimes miss the breaking news. Oh, dear. But you know what? I was saying, because you said John Edwards, and I think that John Edwards set a new bar for douchebaggery, that it's hard to vault over the John Edwards douchebaggery line.
Yeah, it is.
However, the story is Arnold Schwarzenegger, apparently, I don't know why I thought maybe there was a little smoke, there was a little fire. I thought there might be a little more to the story.
Yeah.
The whole separation
Another
story.
Another shoe to drop, if you will.
Oh, it's a big one.
It's a huge one.
He fathered a child with a longtime member of the household staff.
Oh, dear.
Don't you hate when that happens?
Yes.
His wife...
Because I have so much staff to choose from.
His wife, Maria Shriver, moved out of their Brentwood mansion earlier this year after the former governor acknowledged the child was his. The staff member worked for the family for 20 years.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. That's awkward.
Yeah.
Retiring in January. Mm. Former, I don't know if these are fun facts, but I just feels like it needs some festive
fun,
music. But no, it's... Oh, dear. Schwarzenegger and his wife, Maria, separated after she learned he had fathered a child more than a decade ago before his first run for office with a longtime member of their household staff. Oh, dear. After leaving the governor's office, I told my wife about this event, which occurred over a decade ago, Schwarzenegger said on Monday night in a statement to the Times in response to questions. The Times had questions, apparently.
I think many people did.
I understand and deserve the feelings of anger and disappointment among my friends and family. Cha.
Yeah. A little bit.
Computer says yes.
There are no excuses, and I take full responsibility for the hurt I've caused. I apologize to Maria, my children, and my family. I am truly sorry. A spokesman for the former First Lady said she had no comment.
Yeah, I
wouldn't
either.
Computer says no.
I don't blame her.
But I would give anything to see what she's saying privately. I'm just saying. To protect their privacy... The Times is not publishing the former staffer's name nor that of her child. In an interview Monday before Schwarzenegger issued his statement, the former staffer said another man, her then husband, was the child's father. So that is a little bit John Edwards-y.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. She said she voluntarily left her position with the couple earlier this year after reaching a longstanding goal of working for them for two decades. I wanted to achieve my 20 years, and then I asked to retire, she said, after adding she received a severance payment and left on good terms with them. Except for the part of, about.
Was it a severance payment?
She got a baby as a lovely parting gift, along with her severance.
Was it a severance payment, or was it,
An ensign-type payment?
I'm just asking.
Wow.
Yeah. All of a sudden she left.
That seems weird.
Yeah.
I wanted to achieve my goal of reaching 20 years of employment.
Nobody has a goal of
20
that.
Years and one spawn. Wow, okay. He is the Sperminator. I've made that joke and apparently, later Monday, the Times informed the woman of the governor's statement. She declined to comment further. Schwarzenegger took financial responsibility for the child from the start and continued to provide support, according to a source,
including a severance payment.
Okay, wait. I'm confused.
What?
Did the child live with them all? I'm confused. She was a household, or no, she wasn't a live-in.
Well, she had a husband, right? That's what the story said.
No, hang on. Let me go back. The details of this are always...
Right.
Monday before Schwarzenegger issued a statement, the former staffer said another man, her then husband, was the child's father.
Oh, okay, so she's not married now.
Oh, well, I guess she was.
At the time of the conception.
I guess so. Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right, so she didn't live with them. I'm just like going, that's awkward. I mean, did she bring the child to work ever? And did the child look just like Schwarzenegger? I'm just saying, it's a little awkward, the whole...
Well, I mean... maybe the Schwarzenegger staff is so large that they might have had an on-site daycare center. I don't know.
Okay. Where are we? The two distinctly different portraits of the marriage and its status have emerged in the days since, yes, the breakup became public. Schwarzenegger suggested the split was temporary and the couple were working toward reconciliation.
Oh.
I'm thinking she's probably thinking of working toward,
hitting him over the head with a frying pan.
Yes, or, removing certain parts of him. I don't know. I'm just saying. Friends of...
Lorena Bobbitting.
No, maybe not.
Oh?
Friends of Shriver offered a grimmer assessment, saying she's been unhappy for years, but made no move until her parents had died and he had finished his term as governor. His behavior, as you recall, became an issue during the campaign. You know, the groping.
Yep. With the groping and
the groping and
things.
The things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
Which that happened obviously over a number of years, and Schwarzenegger at the time denied the allegation. I don't know what, and then apologized, and then said, I think he actually did say, "Where there's smoke, there's fire." I know what he said. I did badly sometimes. He didn't sort of specify any more than that.
No, now we know.
Yes. Shriver at the time offered a timely and politically crucial defense of her husband, vouching for his personal integrity. There should be like a political wives club like this. It's because it's sad, so it's not like a favorite thing.
It's very sad,
thing,
especially for the kids.
But Dina McGreevy, that was the most, like, deer in the headlights at a press conference.
That I felt bad for her.
Yeah. No, I know. I mean, but just... Shriver, a longtime television journalist who gave up her job at NBC when Schwarzenegger took office, has worked on her women's empowerment website. You know what that means. She's sitting around playing I Will Survive with a bunch of friends and drinking, which is exactly what I would do. That's what you do. All right. That's the whole... we'll see if there's more breaking news this morning out here from California, but that's the news thus far. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Come on, Maria, we're with you, sister. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We have who's coming up next? Ari Berman from The Nation. We have a big show today.
I know we do.
Ari Berman, one of our personal favorites from The Nation, coming up in just a few minutes. Sean Astin.
Yep.
Hello. From Lord of the Rings.
And he's getting into politics.
I know.
And
he's
going to tell us
what he's talking about next hour. Charlie Pierce and... Tuesdays with Tyler.
Yep.
It's so exciting.
Oh, and Rita Cosby.
And hour number two. Oh, that's right.
Oh, I'm Rita Cosby.
I need to get the impression out of the way. Get it out of my system.
Good morning, Rita.
Okay. All right. She is, her book is out. She's delightful, and her book is out. It's exciting to meet people that I've mocked mercilessly for years, and then they turn out to be delightful, and then I feel bad.
But not that bad, because I'm Rita Cosby.
Okay. All right. By the way, can I have some dream music? I don't know what the deal is, but there's a lot of Stephanie Miller Show dreams.
Yeah. Well,
Tom, I don't know
Rebecca
why.
Rebecca told me about a really strange dream she had about the show a couple of weeks ago.
I'm guessing that it involved harming me in some way, which made her very happy.
No, I think it was that she was arranging for Lady Gaga to be shot out of a cannon from... Okay, here she is.
Oh, here she is. Yeah, here is Rebecca Taylor.
Okay, I'm...
Surly associate producer of The Stephanie Miller Show.
I hate you. I never dream
about
the
show. Don't go through the motions. Show some real hatred.
All right, you dumb bitch. I really hate you.
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
So, I never dream about the show. I only have nightmares.
Yes, of course.
I had this dream...
This is a waking nightmare every day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, so true. I had this dream that I had booked Lady Gaga on the show.
Sure.
Which is very likely, right?
Yes, of course.
And she wanted to shoot out of the ocean into the studio.
Sure.
And because that took so long to maneuver, the next guest that I had booked died.
Oh, damn you, Gaga. What the hell? Don't you hate when that happens, Rebecca? It's hard enough to book people for this show. What do they mostly say?
No.
Stephanie, no. You don't even get through Stephanie Miller's show before they say...
No.
No. No. All right. Damn you, Gaga. All right, thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate that.
Yeah,
I don't know. This show, it leads to weird dreams. I don't know why. All right, Tom in Kansas City. Steph, I've been listening to the show for years and never had a Stephanie Miller dream until last week. Catching up on my Stephcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Yep.
I was surprised to hear you had a couple of listeners that had SM show dreams as well. Was it a full moon where our biorhythms sync, or is it the hypnotic music of the Abadabad song? I think that might be it.
Abadabad. Abadabad.
It's causing all sorts of weirdness.
Abadabad.
Yep. It was right after this that Rebecca had that Lady
Gaga
dream.
And also I played Night Chicago Died and Billy Don't Be a Hero by Paper Lace yesterday, and that also led to a lot of earworms and weird behavior.
Yeah.
And I apologize once again. In my dream, I was one of the mooks, and we were all on the road together for the Sexy Liberal Show. See, now the road show is it's seeping into the dreams of the regular show.
Great.
You made all of us mooks, Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang, all cram into a flea bag motel in the bad part of town while you stayed at the fancy hotel on the good side of town.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a dream. That's pretty much... He says that like there's something wrong with that. The dream basically consisted of all of us sitting around bitching about what a tightwad you are. By the way, one of my fellow step dreamers mentioned that their dream involved Chris LaVoie and Tidy Whitey's dry humping you. Yeah, that makes its way into a lot of dreams.
What?
I know from years of listening to you that despite your spectacular ass, he wouldn't tap that with a 10,000-foot pole.
You're right.
But if the day ever comes where he feels sorry for you and decides to give you a pity... The day it would never even come to that. Because no. You would never even have enough pity for me.
No, never. Oh, God. I shudder.
It would probably end up just like the scene in Reno 911, Miami, where Jim Dangle and Trudy Weigel decide to do it. There'd be lots of yelling, you're doing it wrong, you're stepping on my hair. It doesn't go there. And it would end in some unfortunate incident like Chris getting his watch band caught in your downstairs area, resulting in a trip to the emergency room.
Oh, Dad.
I can't move my foot.
Oh,
now.
Dad. My foot. Oh, God. Oh, you're good. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's correct. I bet there would be a lot of, you're on my hair, and yes. I can't move my foot.
No, I can't move my foot. Yeah.
And what is that? Where does it go? All right. And what are you doing? All right.
Yeah. Well, huh? It doesn't go there.
All right. Check the manual again. Oh.
You're fired.
Forget it. All right. Donald, speaking of.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Oh,
damn it. Oh, what a cliffhanger. Gosh, Donald Trump's not going to run?
Wow.
Who saw that coming, except for everybody? What a ridiculous moron he is. Seriously. I'm going to make an announcement. I think you're going to be surprised. No, we weren't.
No, not at all.
We knew this was a publicity stunt, you giant PR whore. Donald Trump yesterday.
After getting so many calls from Bob and from Steve and everybody, I've decided that we are going to continue onward with Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh.
We're going to continue making lots and lots of money for charity.
What?
I will not be running for president as much as I'd like to.
Of course you would.
I want to thank everybody very much. Thank you very much. Going to see you for a great season.
Okay. All right. Thank you, you big, ridiculous blowhard with a bad comb over.
Well, they do raise...
Really? Oh, that's what reality television is for.
It's
for
all
charity.
About charity. Yeah.
Yeah, because no one else makes any money. Yeah, that's why celebrity reality shows exist.
Yeah.
Snooki is friggin' Mother Teresa. Yeah, okay. That's what reality TV is all about. Oh, my God, please. That
oh,
made me...
my God.
Yeah, here's his whole statement. After considerable deliberation and reflection, I've decided not to pursue the office of the presidency. This decision does not come easily or without regret. Oh, please. Does he ever say anything true?
No.
Especially when my potential candidacy continues to be validated by a ranking at the top of the Republican contenders in polls across the country. Wrong! 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 Oh, my God, he's such a liar. Every poll, he has just... he's like in single digits.
Yeah.
He's like in fifth place or something. Despite my ranking at the top of the contenders in polls across the country. Yeah. Ultimately, however, hang on, here's some. Business is my greatest passion. I'm not ready to leave the private sector. Trump made the announcement, of course, where they were rolling out the new blah, blah, blah. He explained that the show had made a lot of money for charity. And he wanted to continue doing so. So that's, you know, it's really a selfless move, Chris.
Sure.
It's not one of self-promotion. For self-enrichment, it's a Gandhi move.
It's for the children.
Yeah, exactly. 29 minutes after the hour, Ari Berman of The Nation next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Your chest is crazy. Definitely send me your resume.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour. Lots of breaking political news left and right, obviously. On the, out here in California. If you hadn't heard, the Sperminator had a baby with the household staff. Okay.
With anyway. Help.
Yes. Guess it's not hard to find good help in the Schwarzenegger. Mansion. Yeah. All right, so that's the story here. Donald Trump out yesterday. Huckabee out.
Gingrich in. and contradicting himself.
And just as snarly as I remember him. All right, let's talk about it all with Ari Berman, one of our personal favorites from The Nation magazine. Good morning, Ari.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me. Fun times.
Oh, fun times. Good times. Good times. Now, Ari, here's my favorite thing. I was finishing my the story about Trump getting out. He said, I make you this promise. I'll continue to voice my opinions loudly. Oh, jeez. Yeah, and to help shape our politicians' thoughts. So he's not going to shut his pie hole. That's the important thing.
Well, whether anyone listens to him is a whole other story. It was really kind of fun in a way to watch the Donald Trump train wreck happen. I'm actually kind of glad that the whole thing transpired. It's hard to imagine what life would have been like without watching Donald Trump melt down in slow motion the last 2 months.
Ari, you couldn't write it better, could you? The announcement about killing Bin Laden, it's like a Saturday Night Live sketch. It interrupts his ridiculous season finale of The Apprentice for this breaking news.
The fact that he actually, you know, upstaged the finale of all things was really poetic justice. And I said from the very beginning that there was no way Donald Trump was ever going to run for president because he doesn't want people to know that he actually has a lot less money than he says he does.
Yeah.
And he was never going to fill out that financial disclosure form, let alone all the other bogus things in his past and the fact that he never really was a Republican and he has no real political experience. But just on the money alone, he was never going to go there.
What was that slogan going around the internet? Let's hope that America isn't the fourth enterprise that Donald Trump bankrupts. And I love this. In his statement yesterday, he said, I'm going to talk about issues including getting tough on China. And by that, he means having his suit line manufactured in China. I mean, he's just so ridiculous. You can't write this stuff.
Well, they were already. It was funny watching some GOP political consultants try to spin this, and they said, "Well, Trump really brought it to Obama. He really made him focus on the issues." And it's like, what issue is fake birth certificate? I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of issues. I don't think animating Donald Trump's ill-fated presidential campaign.
Yeah, exactly. Although only on Fox News, let's just give you a peek into right-wing world. Only on Fox News is Trump the big winner. And all this.
Look, we have to say that so far Donald Trump has been the most successful candidate of the 2012 cycle. He created huge buzz for his television show. He got lots and lots of interest. He made the president show off his long-form birth certificate. He did all of these things, and now he can go back and hang out with Little John and everybody else and have his TV show finale. So he's been a huge success.
Mm, huge. Winning, duh. He's sort of winning the Charlie Sheen way.
I guess so. The president has to hope that all the other candidates follow the Trump model.
Yes, of success, of plummeting in the polls to single digits. And the funny thing is, you know, the ratings for The Apprentice went down. I mean, it's hilarious.
No. I mean, I think cynically at first they went up, and then people started getting really sick of what he was saying, and the ratings started plunging. And it's funny, you know, he made Sarah Palin look classy, which is really tough to do, almost in the way that Dominique Strauss-Kahn makes Arnold Schwarzenegger look classy.
Exactly. So now, as you know, the other big story is God does not want Mike Huckabee to be president, as it turns out.
Yeah.
There was even a website, Pray for Huckabee. It consisted of a page where he told supporters he was praying, of course, about whether or not, you know, God wanted him to be president. And as it turns out, God wanted him to have the keep the Fox money and build a house on the coast.
Exactly. God and the GOP 2012 donors, I think they both gave him the same message. It is kind of sad in a way about Huckabee because he does alternate between total insanity and relative sanity, which is more than you can say for some members of the field. And so I do think, you know, the GOP field would be stronger with him in there. And it is sad that he can't run because he's alienated a lot of different constituencies in the Republican Party who will never give him any money. My feeling is with Huckabee out, I mean, the field is really cleared for Romney now. I mean, Mitch Daniels is going to get in, probably. He will, I think, be somewhat like Fred Thompson, which is he looks good on paper. We'll see whether he'll actually be a strong presidential candidate. He certainly has a record that he can talk about and is in some ways a kinder, gentler version of Paul Ryan. I mean, but other than Daniels, I mean, the field is really cleared right now for Romney.
I'm sorry, I know I'm in kind of a gossipy mood, what with the Schwarzenegger story out here in California, but, I mean, does Mitch Daniels have a weirdly, you know, family value? His problem, you know the story of his wife, right?
Yeah.
She left him and their four children and married another man in California in the 90s and then came back.
Got back together.
Right.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I mean, it's hard to know what prompted all of that. We don't know if it was some sort of Arnold Schwarzenegger situation.
Right.
Not to wildly speculate or anything.
Right.
Right.
Or it was just marital dysfunction. You know, the fact that he's so reluctant about getting in and his wife seems so unenthusiastic about it does, I think, raise questions on what really went on there.
And you're right. The California connection is suspicious. I mean, for instance, is one of her kids actually Arnold Schwarzenegger's? Who really knows? Who knows how interconnected this might be, Ari? I don't really... But, yeah, it's. I mean, but then, you know, that's what I mean. You don't know. Is he not going to get in because of, you know, scrutiny on that? I mean, it's just this field is it is strange. I mean, obviously, the big question, who attracts now the social conservatives that now that Huckabee's out? You know, I'm hearing buzz again that Sarah Palin now might get in, that, you know, all of her supporters are jubilating over Huckabee getting out.
Yeah, I mean, her poll numbers remain terrible, even among Republicans. And as crazy as the Republican electorate is these days, I do think they still want to try to defeat Obama, and they're going to look at some of the same polls that we're looking at. They're going to see all these vulnerabilities that Sarah Palin has, and I think ultimately they're not going to choose her. But I mean, she may be tempted to do it. I mean, she certainly has the ego to believe that if she got in, she could win, even though she's done absolutely nothing to lay the groundwork. I mean, not only has she tried to better herself intellectually, which she hasn't done, but she hasn't done any of the nuts and bolts campaign work of getting operatives in Iowa, getting operatives in New Hampshire, laying the groundwork. So if she runs, I think it'll be in classic Palin fashion, which is completely 100% winging it.
Yeah. Well, I love there's one article I'm reading about it today. While her persecution complex is an article of faith for many conservatives, the general electorate won't toss her the keys to a bigger car than the one she left on the side of the road. I mean, the quitting halfway through your term is a fairly large obstacle,
no,
isn't it?
No, it's like she had vulnerabilities back when she was vice president and vice presidential candidate for McCain, and it's just been magnified so much that it's hard to see the Republican electorate, as I said, even though as unpredictable and hard to discern as they are, choosing someone as crazy as Palin. So I think in the end, I mean, who knows? A lot of stuff could happen there. The Republican electorate does seem to really hate Mitt Romney, but there isn't many other people there who shape up as a strong contender against Obama. I mean, John Huntsman would be a good candidate, but he's way too moderate for the 2012 GOP electorate.
Right. I mean, I guess you're right. Of the reality show stars in the still, Sarah Palin, I guess, has some sort of gravitas compared to Donald Trump, unless the situation gets into the race. I don't know. Now, what about Newt Gingrich? I thought, you know, I've been watching him, Ari.
How do we forget about Newt?
You really forget. I mean, forget the hypocrisy and the family values. You go, I forgot what a truly nasty, unattractive man he is. He's just so snarly and mean. And take a listen to this. He's trying to pretend that there is no racist tint to this at all.
President Obama is the most successful food stamp president in American history. More people are on food stamps today than at any point in American history, and he's proud of it. I would like to be the most successful paycheck president in American history.
Oh, and this is what's going to happen. They can keep doing the dog whistle coded language and then go, oh, well, that's ridiculous that you'd accuse me of racism.
That reminded me of Donald Trump saying, I am the least racist person there is.
There's
a nice synergy to it, those two quotes. Yeah, he starts out with a clearly racist, race-baiting line, which is this at this point completely par for the course for Newt, given everything else he said about Obama's deeply anti-colonial heritage and everything else. And then he goes and he picks a fight with Paul Ryan. It's like, it's unbelievable. Who is he trying to get at the end of the day? I mean, I imagine the same people that are going to be affected by the race-baiting comments are also going to be the same people that love Paul Ryan. And then Newt goes and accuses Paul Ryan of right-wing social engineering.
Well,
speaking actually a bit of truth for once. And so this is how he starts his presidential campaign,
which
no one was, quite frankly, taking very seriously to begin with.
Right.
Well, this is, so people know what you're talking about. This is what Newt said about Paul Ryan. Newt Gingrich, yes.
I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering. I don't think imposing radical change from the right or the left is a very good way for a free society to operate.
So he's got one foot in the race, and he's pissed the left and the right off.
Yes.
Already.
Charles Krauthammer said yesterday, Gingrich is finished. He's over. He's done.
Well, I think that's a really profound conclusion that Krauthammer reached. I could have told him that before Newt even walked into the ring.
Yeah, that, I mean, well, you made a point about Sarah Palin's ego, but it really is sort of, it, you know, for those of us with average or below average self-esteem, like a normal person, it really is stunning, the ego. And so, you know, you're going, what in Newt Gingrich's brain really makes him think that people are just, you know, hungering for a Newt Gingrich presidency?
You wonder if Romney wants Gingrich in just to make Romney look likable at this point. I mean, it's really...
Exactly. People are like, I hate that guy.
In comparison to each other.
Exactly. It's like, I hate that guy, but not as much as that.
Like, I want to see Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin head-to-head.
Yes.
That is really going to be something. Oh. That's sort of my dream of 2012 feel at this point.
Ari, good times, good times. You and I will eat popcorn together and talk about this many more times. So great to see you again, sir. And we'll talk.
I appreciate it.
You too. Talk again soon. Ari.
Of the Nation.
The Nation magazine. Mm-hmm. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, speaking of which, Mama will be the Grand Marshal of the Gay Pride Parade in Long Beach this Saturday.
That's
come
right
out and see Mama. I need a headdress of some sort, don't I? I never know what to wear to these things.
You don't.
I need some gay men to help me. I need a drive-by hairdressing. I need something.
You're a grand marshal. You're not a drag queen.
Well, see, no one told me that the last time I did this.
Yeah, I know. You look like a...
Woo!
Yeah.
Check out those photos. I did. It was a patriotic tranny theme, which is, what was wrong with that? It involved fishnets and, I don't know, big hair, and it was a little...
And a leather...
What did you say? You said that was... It was a little much.
That was a little over the top.
Maybe a t-shirt and jeans this time.
Yeah.
And some sort of headdress.
Dress like a lesbian.
Oh, shush.
What?
All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go! All right.
What?
Drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
Where there are unionized state workers... Their existence is to further a money laundering operation so that a portion of what they earn, paid by taxpayers, ends up as campaign donations to the Democrat Party.
Doesn't ever get tired, that whole union bashing?
Yes, it does.
Guess what? Here's just a little tip for you, Rush. They are taxpayers. They're people and taxpayers. Union people are taxpayers.
They pay into their
Here we
own.
Go again. Yeah. There's people. There's normal people, taxpayers, and then there's union people. Oh, okay. Rich. By the way, I wonder if any of the big, you know, employees of News Corp, I wonder if they're behind all the money that they give to the Republicans. Do they get a say in that?
No, they don't.
Thank you. Rich Lowry, McLaughlin Group.
He's sagging some among Latinos.
Obama.
He desperately needs those people for re-election. Mm. They're disappointed with him, partly because they're so gullible and naive and believed his over-promising on immigration in 2008.
Wow, did he just call all Hispanic people gullible and naive?
Naive, he did. He called, yes.
Well, I see. He must be very popular with the Latinos. Popular as Donald Trump is with the blacks.
The Hispanic.
Wow. Actually, I guess he hasn't seen the breaking news. Obama polling well despite job fears. I don't know which polls he's looking at. Despite widespread disapproval of the economy right now, more than half of Americans approve of the president or are open to reelecting him.
Yep.
Republicans looking toward 2012 have consistently argued the president's reelection hinges on the economy regardless of who emerges from the Republican field. Right.
Oh, God.
Because it's such a strong field so far. The president seems, at least for now, though, surprisingly immune to economic fears. According to this latest poll, 52% of those surveyed approve of his handling of his job, up 7 percentage points from the most recent poll. Additionally, 72% approve of him personally, up 7 percentage points there, too. The two matchups, Romney right now, the president, 51-38% over Romney. Pawlenty, Obama leads 50% to 36%. Good job so far, Republican field. Things are looking up.
Hooray.
Vince in California wants to know if someone else is going to jump in. Hi, Vince.
Hi. You know, I think if things that continue as they are, just about this time next year, so it doesn't cost them a whole lot of money, I bet you Jeb Bush is going to jump in there.
I've heard a lot about this, but, you know, it seems like he has, well, he couldn't be more strongly opposed. I mean, he keeps saying no, 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 but that's what, you know, the storyline is, Vince, right, is that he'll get drafted, that he'll, you know.
And nobody's going to beat Obama.
I know.
You know,
well,
I don't see it unless something big happens between now and then.
Well, Vince,
I don't see him losing.
That's right. I think that, you know, you're right. I mean, what it is they are full of on the right. Like, they keep talking about he's the worst president ever. He's horrible. And then it's like when, it comes to put your money where your mouth is, they're all out. I mean, one after the other. They're all out because they're like, oh, yeah, well, if he's so horrible, how come none of you want to run against him?
I'm not a Tea Party member, but I really love my tea, and my two favorites are Morning Thunder and Red Zinger. So I don't know if you're a coffee or a tea person, but try those.
Okay,
They'll blast you off in the morning.
Okay, thank you. That was about.
And I have a feeling that if Jeb Bush gets drafted into this thing, he's going to go at it completely half-assed like Fred Thompson did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
just
there's always...
Just because he doesn't want to be
look
there.
Look at the last one. It was like, oh, Rudy Giuliani's in. Oh, it's going to... Oh, and then it was just like, wow. That was like the worst campaign ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
I am not going to justify this. I'm not going to explain this. The attack on Paul Ryan, the support for an individual mandate in health care, it cuts Paul Ryan off at the knees. It supports... the Obama administration.
It's Republicans eating their own. Yeah, they are, in case you hadn't heard that story, furious. Newt Gingrich, just in case, well, we played the clip, but he called the Republican plan for Medicare right-wing social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the same interview, this was Meet the Press.
Yep.
He backed the individual mandate, complicating a Republican line of attack. So, I mean, Charles Krauthammer, for once in his life, may be right. This Newt Gingrich may have imploded already. Before we even... how hilarious do you think that he was going to get tripped up on, like, policy issues?
Right.
And not personal
issues.
And he's
supposed to be this...
We didn't even get to his personal baggage yet.
He's supposed to be this policy genius.
Yeah.
But he's made three major stumbles.
And
right
the head
of
the Republican Party, Rush Limbaugh, just came out against him.
Yeah.
All right. Britt Hume on the Brit Burr.
I think this will haunt Gingrich for some time to come. And I've listened to the explanations that he's made today and his attempt to walk all this back. And I'm bound to say I was hoping that he would knock that out of the park in a sense.
Ugh.
But I don't think they've been a single bit effective. I don't think they wash.
Well, Britt Hume on, the straight news program on Fox News just said that he was hoping that Newt Gingrich would come out of this.
Yeah. How did he try to walk it back? I missed how he...
Oh, he put out a really hastily produced video that was really poorly lit on some front lawn somewhere.
Well, there's hardly any lighting that he doesn't look good in.
Yeah, and he said, I support the Ryan plan, and I reject Obama's... healthcare plan.
So did he explain why he said the opposite thing the day before?
Oh, God, no.
No, of course not. Okay, Glenn Beck on the TV.
The radical Islamists, communists, and socialists will all work against Israel, work against capitalism, work together to overturn stability. They will cascade, sweep the Middle East, begin to destabilize Europe and the rest of the world. That is happening, gang. And I know I was called a crackpot in January for telling you that,
you are
but
crackpot.
That is what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are indeed.
He's a crackpot.
Oh, have you heard that announcement? He's going to fix all that in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Thank God. He's having a Restoring Courage rally in Jerusalem. Remember he had the Restoring Honor rally?
Mm-hmm. You know how much it costs to attend this thing?
He doesn't know yet. He hasn't worked that out. He announced he's planning to hold a rally in Jerusalem in August called Restoring Courage. He warned his listeners on Monday that he thinks disaster is imminent for Israel because of a two-state solution that cuts off Jerusalem. God is involved in man's affairs, but so is the force of darkness.
Oh,
I believe I've been asked to stand in Jerusalem. So that's what God was waiting for, is Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
He called the rally a life-altering event, warned the very gates of hell would fight his attempts to hold the rally. Oh, my God. Delusions of grandeur much?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he'll get in the Republicans in the race.
One can hope.
Oh, gosh. All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with After Sean Astin next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. We of course, the first show that have a live press conference with Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger to explain himself. Governor?
Yeah, I'm sorry about all the things in this nature, the diet down with the stooping and the bumpsing and all of this and the groping and the grabbing. Mm-hmm. And there may be some other things coming down the pike as well. Just saying, it could get worse. You know,
is there going to be a Sperminator too?
Yeah, the sequel to Sperminator.
Okay. Wow, Jim. Here's good news, because you know our old birthday party act when we do the dueling Schwarzeneggers. Mm. That's going to be. I bet you we're going to get hired up the Yazoo.
Yeah, it's not a tumor of any kind.
It's a tumor.
It's a baby. It's not a tumor.
It was a 9-month tumor.
Hasta la vista. Consider this a divorce.
Hasta la vista, placenta.
Oh, dear. In case you hadn't heard the news, Arnold Schwarzenegger fathered a child with the household help.
Yeah,
that's what led to the separation. That's what, now we finally know what he meant by things of this nature.
Things of this nature. I'm not going to tell you what they are, but you figure it out.
Going to terminate the deficit here in California and things of this nature.
And by things of this nature, he meant knock off the household help. 20 years she worked there. With the family.
Mm. 20 years.
Yeah.
I only stooped it once.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at it mathematically, that's right.
He was a good boy for most of the time.
I only knocked up one household employee, as far as you know.
All right. Unsolicited testimonial, although I don't know. We were just talking about Glenn Beck having his little rally, because he's going to, you know, God wants him to save Jerusalem or something.
Whatever.
Save Jerusalem himself.
Yes. Yeah. Where is my religious music? Mark, I did not know this. Pissed about renewing his 1-year subscription to the Stephcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Finally decided to make the commitment to the Stephcast. Got my 1-year subscription last Thursday. What do I find out today? The world is going to end Saturday, May 21st.
Oh, that's right.
Is this connected to me being the Grand Marshal for Gay Pride in Long Beach?
Sure. Ooh, I think it is, yes.
That's clearly the end of the world.
I'm causing the rapture.
Yep.
Here's an idea. Dan,
glad they waited till after my birthday.
What's that?
Glad they waited till after my birthday.
Oh, thank God. Dan in Spencer, New York. Boy, I'm going to have to readjust my paper calendar.
Sure. Oh,
damn, all these sold-out sexy liberal shows coming up. Damn it. All right. I don't think God would let the world end before we go to Chicago for Gay Pride Weekend. Do you?
I don't think so.
All right.
No.
Will Family Radio sell their 66 radio stations? Ms. Miller, Family Radio has predicted that May 21st, 2011 is to be the Judgment Day, Rapture, End of the World, etc. They presumably will have no use for the 66 radio stations they own from May 22nd
right, so
on.
We should get them.
Someone needs to get on that. Could this be a chance for liberal radio to expand its voice? Why, I think so.
Computer says yes.
I can understand they'll probably want to use them right up to Gabriel's trumpet solo, but if you made some kind of token offering to their cause in exchange for deeds to these stations post-dated to the 22nd, then you could have your own nationwide Stephanie Miller network. I would love to hear your plea to them on the show. Call them up, make the offer. We can enjoy hearing them hand them over to you, or hear them explain why they want to hang on to them even after they've been raptured well out of the range of the transmitters. See if Rebecca can get on that. I would like to speak to whoever at Family Radio about, you know, I assume they'll have some time available for lease.
Sure.
Or not.
Well, apparently God ran out of money because the signs were taken down, at least the one that in the valley that I used to drive by all the time.
All right. I don't know if this is going to affect our good friend actor Sean Astin's plans for his political future, but let's find out. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
How are you, sir?
Beautiful rainy day in Southern California.
Woo! And now, it's been a while since I've run into you in a green room of some sort. But this is
the
very...
last time we talked was Election Day, and I was in Indiana on a car.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Now, yep. So you're campaign manager for Dan Adler, who's running for California's 36th congressional seat.
Dan Adler's my man.
Wow. This is your first foray into this officially. I know you're really involved. I know that you were on the Hillary campaign, but I mean, this is your first foray. You're the actual campaign manager.
The actual manager for Dan Adler. It's been really fun. It's fast. You know, it's a special election. Jane Harmon, for your listeners who aren't familiar with the number 36 district, it was Jane Harmon's seat, and she resigned in February, and so now there's a special election. It's an open primary. There's 16 candidates. It's the first time because of Proposition 14 that we've been able to, we'll see if it works. It's a gnarly experiment where everybody's on the same ballot, and the top two finishers, if there isn't a clean majority, go to a runoff. So it's likely that the top two, I mean, there's Republicans, Libertarians, the pot party guy, who's hilarious, and us, and we, yeah, so we'll see. It's likely to be a Democrat. Historically, it's a Democratic seat, and,
right?
Which is it's just strange to do it that way. But
Sean, is this because you've obviously been very politically active for a while? Is this a precursor to you running yourself someday?
Listen, the reason I'm doing this is because Dan Adler is a friend of mine. We've known each other for 20 years. He came up to my wife and my wedding, where my mom lives up in Idaho, and he's an unbelievably cool guy. He's a mensch. One of our slogans is Dan Adler, send a mensch to Congress. So we've got several slogans, but that's why I'm doing it. And it, you know, it's amazing to see things from this side of things, as opposed to being a surrogate for candidates, you know, particularly presidential candidates. I've done three of those, and it's you know, the system goes out of its way to make it impossible for people to have their voice heard. And Dan is not a professional politician. He's an entrepreneur, a businessman. He's I'll give you one example. One of your colleague stations, sister stations, if you will, KPCC, is a public radio station, supposedly a public radio station that I've always liked and that Dan actually contributes to. And they locked us out of their debate. A public radio station, we had raised independently more money than 12 of our 16 opponents, and Dan had acquitted himself beautifully, in particular on a Democrat for Israel debate, where he just dominated the conversation in the attitudes of his opponents, who afterwards came up and, you know, just about offered him a job to be their policy wonk when they won in their
right.
mind, you know. So for them to lock us out of that, I mean.
Well, Sean, you know you shouldn't you shouldn't listen to public radio anyway. There's not enough fart jokes. You need to stay over here with Mama.
Yeah, I listen to you guys for information. I listen to them instead of Prozac.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, I was hoping that, are you being arrested right now? Because that would be good publicity for me. If you could.
I am standing in our campaign bus that has, actually, it's really funny. I don't know if you'll get a kick out of this or not, but Dan he believes in the return to the citizen legislature idea. And so he's going to take with him five, you know, residents of the 36th district, up to five qualified citizens to his D.C. office should he be honored enough to get, you know, win. And
wow.
So we've got these help wanted banners all over our bus, as well as his posters and Election Day kind of stuff. And it's been really fun. So I'm standing on our bus. We're getting ready to go do our get out the vote thing. We've got, conventional wisdom would say that the rain would kill this kind of,
right.
you know, dark horse candidacy. I think it's going to show that we are intrepid and determined, because we've got people all over the district with banners that are going to be outside and then pouring down rain.
So you've mentioned the bus and your mom, Patty Duke. Is she going to come along? Because, you know, it'll all come together when mom sings along. If there's a bus involved.
From the tone in your voice, I'm guessing you haven't seen our video campaign and our ad campaign, which has gotten some. We went from nobody, you know, Dan Adler had no name recognition, no money, and no political machine behind him, which is why I was like, right on, I got to manage that campaign. and so we were doing a lot of things to get noticed, and one of our videos, who has created some controversy, I guess is the only word for it, and we had one of our commercials went from like 30 hits on YouTube to over, I think it's somewhere around in the neighborhood of 200,000 hits in about 36 hours.
Wow.
And then that led to people looking at the other one. And when I told my mom I was running this campaign, she remembered Dan from the wedding, and she said, how can I help? She's up in Idaho. She's directing her play, The Miracle Worker, which is a beautiful thing in her,
oh, awesome,
life and her career, coming full circle from her Oscar when she was a kid and stuff. Anyhow, she broke into her rehearsal schedule, which is a really big deal. She came down here. We went to Torrance Memorial Hospital. We went to a senior kind of an assisted living place. And then I put a sweatsuit on her and said, Mom, we're going to Muscle Beach. And we went to Muscle Beach. If you actually had it to pull up, it'd make for some good radio. I'll tell you that right now. But we did a spot with Dan, and she. I'm not allowed to curse on this show, am I?
No.
No. Okay. So I'll bleep myself out. But basically, one of our slogans is Dan Adler, send a mensch to Congress. And in our commercials, a lot of times the people say that at the end, and then you go to our website for a kind of a man on the street thing of and Paul Reiser and a bunch of other people describing what a mensch is. And anyhow, the other slogan that we have had my mom as one of the first ones looking into the camera after Dan rescues her from almost dropping a barbell on herself. And she goes, Dan Adler, he gets stuff done. Only we don't say
he
stuff.
Gets done.
That's
right. Hilarious.
That's exactly right.
That's hilarious. Well, Sean, we always love talking to you, and I'm guessing from the way you answered my question about whether you're going to be a politician that you actually are going to be a politician, because you didn't really answer that, but that's fine. And
Stephanie, I will tell you that I have always wanted to be a member of the United States House of Representatives, and if I thought there was somewhere that I could really have a shot and my wife wouldn't leave me, I would seriously consider doing it. And now I might be better at it because of having had this experience.
Right. I hope so. I'm on the bus if you do. And in the meantime, I'm on the bus for Dan Adler, California's 36th District. When do we vote?
You vote right now. It's today. Yep. It's like it's
today's the primary.
Okay,
today
awesome.
Today is the primary. You vote. Go. Where are you? You can't. If you can't vote, all right. Let's see. If two of your listeners talk to two of their friends, and two of their friends talk. To...
All right. Awesome. And you tell two people, and you tell two people. All right. Sean Essen, get back on the bus, my friend. Thanks so much for taking time as always.
Well, actually, thank you so much for so much time on Election Day. I'll talk to you when the municipal ones are all around.
All right. Yay. Thank you, honey. There he goes, Sean Essen. He called originally the same way Melissa Etheridge did. They just called on the listener line and didn't say who they were. All right. We're like, what? Well, Rudy's calling me? What? Yeah, he's, I don't know if you know, but Goonies, Rudy, Lord of the Rings, Memphis Belle, Toy Soldiers, Boy Meets Girl. He's done this. He's got quite a filmography.
Yes.
It's almost like he came from an acting family or something.
Of some sort.
He was also in one of my favorite movies called Safe Passage, which nobody ever saw.
I would give anything to see Patty Duke say... He gets it done.
I'll try and find that.
I just love that. Yeah. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God, that's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, coming up after the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Jan in Seattle. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that the world is not ending on May 21st.
No.
That's the day that the Christians float up to heaven, and then the rest of us are stuck here in massive chaos until October 21st, when then they say the world is going to end.
Of course, of course, none of this is predicted in the Bible. You understand that.
Well, that fits the sexy liberal show schedule better. At least we can get most of our shows in.
Right. I hope you get up to Seattle by then.
Funny you should mention that. I think there might be a very big announcement very soon. Yes, pre-rapture there'll be an announcement. Yeah. Thank you, Jan. All right. I wonder when that announcement is.
Yeah, when is this
announcement? We better hurry before we get raptured. I don't know. I don't really know anything. Look,
we're not going to get raptured, though, because we're not the right kind of Christians, you see.
Oh, damn it.
Especially Chris.
I paid good money for that rapture helmet.
I bet you I can get some property for cheap after the rapture.
True. Speaking of religion.
Can I have your car?
Yeah.
I love that bumper sticker.
Oh, what's the website someone sent me is someone to care for your pets.
Yeah, after the rapture.
After the rapture.
That's what you'll be doing.
What, so our pets don't go with us?
No.
What the hell's the point of going to heaven if you can't take... I'm not going if I can't take my pets.
Pets can't believe in God.
That's a hell for me, being without my meek and Fred. My little handful, man.
I'd rather hang out with Jimi Hendrix and, you know...
In the lake of fire?
That's Jim's version of hell, is having to sit next to me and hear me use that voice. Jim, are hey, Max and Fred handsome? Romantic? Oh, you good boys.
For all eternity.
I'd
rather drown in the lake of fire.
All right, Chris, speaking of religion, could you take your organ out for me?
Yes.
Jim, you'll be shocked. The John Boehner teared up during a Catholic University commencement speech.
Huh. How long did it take?
Not very long. His tearful tendencies, well documented.
Yeah.
Yes. He got emotional while recalling how he went to church on the morning of his leadership election in 2006.
Oh,
he's very
God.
Emotional about, you know, himself.
Himself,
mostly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, this is just too much. He got very emotional while recalling how he went to church on the morning of his leadership election in 2006 and asked the Virgin Mary whether he was ready for the job.
What?
And what did she
Why
say?
Why did he... He said she apparently the line was busy. He said he found no answers in the church. The Virgin Mary was not a
was not available
to speak to him. That's sort of weird. Don't most people ask God or something? Like, I've never heard of someone specifically asking the Virgin Mary.
No,
maybe he thought she'd be easier to reach.
In Catholicism, a lot of people ask Virgin Mary for advice.
Well, she apparently
you're lecturing her about Catholicism. That's great.
Well,
I love that.
I know. Yeah, what's the deal? I went to Catholic school for 1 year. You went for 12.
So, the Virgin Mary, like most women, playing hard to get. He got no answer from her at all. But he did get a call from Jerry Faust, his former high school football coach, who went on to be the coach of the University of Notre Dame. So, see, that's number two. If you can't reach the Virgin Mary.
And it comes full circle back to Sean Astin.
So he counts...
to Rudy.
So the coach of Notre Dame counts as a Catholic leader?
In a
apparently.
Way.
Apparently. Well, to Catholics, yes. There's touchdown Jesus. It's a whole thing. Check into it. I have family members that went to Notre Dame. My dad went to Notre Dame.
This
I know
is,
these things.
This is why I'm not religious.
It was old Coach Faust calling to wish me luck and telling me you can do it.
You can do it.
Weeping. He said, I've never gotten a call from the Blessed Mother before, and I don't think I ever will, but I got to tell you it was pretty darn close.
God, it says Coach Notre Dame.
The Virgin Mary said, go long!
Excuse me, if it was a football coach, don't you tell him he would tell him to stop crying and run it off?
Walk it,
walk it off!
A football coach would be, man up! A football coach would have said, man up, stop crying, you big blubbery...
I'll give you a reason to cry.
You big blubbery orange baby. All right, I just love that story. Do you think the kids had, bets on when, how soon he was going to start weeping?
Getting hit by a linebacker. There's a reason to cry.
Now that's, I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
Take that. Oh, heavens. All right. Jim, I just love this story. Woman wakes up from oral surgery with a Transylvanian accent.
Oh, yeah. She happens all the time.
An Oregon woman who underwent anesthesia for oral surgery. She looked the same. She woke up sounding very different. She had foreign accent syndrome.
It happens.
I guess.
Yeah.
She sounded like she was in Transylvania. It softened a little over time, but she still has not recovered her original Northwestern tone. She's from Oregon. They diagnosed her with foreign accent syndrome, a neurological condition.
And she woke up and said, I do not drink wine.
She said, I want to suck your blood.
I have only two boxes.
She wanted to marry Count Chocula for some reason. We don't know. It's a weird story. All right. Charlie Pierce.
Yes.
From the Boston Globe, coming up next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Sounds to me like that Milky Jezebel's giving us both trouble.
Hello, it's me, the Milky Jezebel. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It's that time on a Tuesday, my friends. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America. Pierce.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing?
It's my favorite jingle to chair dance to. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
My penis will be back.
The first Schwarzenegger joke of the morning has been thrown out by Charlie Pierce.
Well, I guess we have to like rethink the all the bad things we heard about the certain effects of steroids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's boy, all those Sperminator jokes I made.
And not the size of marbles, after all.
No,
because you're permanent stiffy.
Wow.
Well, there's no question what his next job is. He's got to go work for the IMF.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, how about that?
What? Oh yeah, well that guy, the head of the IMF,
yeah,
was arrested for.
To be the next president of France.
Right.
Well, I know, but isn't that...
By jumping the maid.
Isn't that the main requirement, is jumping the
right.
hotel maid to be president of France?
French politics have moved to the right a little bit. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
I see.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's in a cell in Rikers Island that's about a third of the size of his suite that he was staying in.
Oh, dear.
It's a little more luxurious than what Bradley Manning's getting.
Yes.
Oh, geez. All right. So, Charlie Pierce...
I had a mellow right here, and now it's harsh.
Yeah, I'm thinking, can we just ignore the birth certificate thing, like we did for Obama, and let Schwarzenegger get in the race?
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are purging their personal archives right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking at you, Chris Matthews, too, by the way, because you were a big player in this.
What do you mean?
In shuffling Gray Davis out and promoting Arnold Schwarzenegger as an actual politician.
Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah.
Oh, I know that whole Enron thing, and it just—it's like.
Well, we were going to amend the Constitution so that we wouldn't be deprived of the possibility of a Schwarzenegger presidency.
Oh man.
How serious was America with that, though? Do you think?
I think America was very serious.
You think so?
Yes, because I think America has attention deficit disorder.
Well,
yeah. Shiny thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what the hell is going on with the Republican field? They're dropping like flies, for God's sakes.
Well, I noticed that it was late yesterday or early this morning that the Daily Caller has that's Tucker Carlson's little vanity press there.
Yes.
That, he got because there's no TV network. I mean, this guy can't even get on a NOAA satellite right now. In any event, they ran a pretty tough piece on Michelle Bachmann today.
Oh, really?
Which reads like somebody just shoveled them a bunch of Oppo research.
Wow.
So it looks like some, now that not the Huck's out, she's plausible.
Right.
At least in Iowa.
Right.
So it looks like somebody's like moving to take care of her too.
Well, the other headline I'm reading today: Sarah Palin supporters dance on the grave of Mike Huckabee's 2012 run. I mean, everybody's played this game. She's going to run. She's not going to run. She might run. Is that actually a possibility?
No, she's not going to run for the same reason Donald Trump wasn't going to run. It's more you make more money being a potential candidate than you do an actual candidate.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm hearing
a reality show. I mean, she's not going to run, but she's not going to drop out till the absolute last minute.
Right. Well, actually, what somebody said is the biggest breaking news that would say she's not going to. The announcement that Bristol Palin will be starring in an L.A.-based reality show with her male roommates is a fairly safe sign of that she's not, Sarah Palin's not going to run.
Wait a minute, Bristol Palin's going to have a reality show?
That's what I'm told. Yes, an L.A.-based reality
show.
And you're asking
me how serious was America about our
Yeah, it's this Gingrich thing is hilarious. It's like starting the race with your shoelaces tied together. he's pissed off the left wing, black people, and the Republicans at the same time on the first day or two.
Yeah, you've got to understand that the guy has like backbench bomb thrower Tourette's. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
In a way, it's kind of charming if you get past the fact that he's a sleazy wife, sleazy sick wife dumping weasel. But he's gonna say stuff that makes people nuts because he can't stop himself.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people consider this a sign of like intellectual capacity. I consider it a sign of unresolved toilet training issues. But
you just keep picturing him in that giant diaper.
I do.
covering the New York Post
frozen him in my mind for life.
But what I have to say, even for me, I'm like, what the WTF? I mean, this is the thing he said. Obviously, I knew meet the press that has the right wing going insane.
I don't think right wing social engineering is any more desirable than left wing social engineering. I don't think imposing radical change from the right to the left is a very good way for a free society to operate.
Frankly, I should be a little less frank, frankly.
I've been too frank already. And then he came out in support of the mandate. And so, you know, the headline this morning, Republicans livid at Gingrich accuse him of hypocrisy in his attack on Paul Ryan. What was he thinking?
Who knows? I mean, the mental radio station is always on scan with him, and occasionally it hits the station. And he's looking at the Medicare thing and thinking, gee, this is really a political disaster for us. How do I get out ahead of this? You know, tsunami of old people who are going to bury us at the polls.
Right.
Well, I'll say it's social engineering. That's a phrase they're used to hearing. You know, they're not used to hearing it in this particular direction, but they'll adjust. I'm not going to pin my hopes on a reform Newt Gingrich on his one or two moments of lucidity over the next 6 months.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. Like, who would have seen Newt Gingrich getting tripped up on policy before we even get to the personal issues? I mean, it's hilarious.
At the same time, he's talking about the president being a food stamp president and talking about bringing Detroit to the country and stuff. I mean, he's not even using the dog whistle anymore.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing, Charlie. I see this clip, and this is you're like, wow, is this going to be the play that they can just say increasingly code word dog whistle-y things and then feign outrage when someone accuses them of racism?
I don't think it's increasingly. I think it's decreasingly. I think they're becoming more and more obvious with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're using regular referees' whistles now.
The dogs aren't even listening anymore. I mean, you tell me, are your dogs listening to the dog whistle? Do they look at the screen and go, woof, woof?
You let the dogs out.
Woof, woof.
Yeah, by the way, speaking
of the roof, Fido, we're going
Speaking of Mitt, I love somebody's description of him I just read. Palin is in a statistical tie, but the current leaders are dead candidacy walking Mitt Romney. Even Houdini couldn't escape the Romney care straitjacket. I mean, that's going to be the main thing, isn't it?
He's going to get killed with it, and he's got no answer because it was going to see. The thing about Romney care that you have to understand, besides the fact that people in Massachusetts love it, which scares the death out of conservatives about health care reform in any form, is that once you get it, people love it and you can't take it away, which is what's happening here. Even though we have insurance based health, market based insurance centered health care reform here, people really like it.
Right.
And he was going to run on this. I mean, I guarantee you, somewhere in the files there are strategy memos on how he's the Republican with the health care plan.
Right.
And he got, his not entirely, flexible political brain all set to do that. And then all of a sudden, in 2008, he runs a Malagrate campaign and loses to John McCain. And in the interim, it becomes, he's defending Hitler or something in the Republican Party now because he's for a market-based insurance-centered health care plan. He's not adept enough to get out from under that.
Well,
to be an awfully good politician to do it, and among other things, he's not an awfully good politician.
Well, he and Gingrich can debate about how much they agree about health care, and it'll look just like a Democratic debate.
Well, the other thing that's happening, of course, is that rising star intellectual giant Paul Ryan is tripling down.
Right.
On the argument that it's okay if we destroy Medicare as long as we call what's left Medicare.
Right. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, well, this is what I was hearing.
This was my favorite moment of Paul Ryan's thing. We're going to empower the elderly to help put bad insurance companies out of business by not doing business with them. Does he know anybody over the age of 30?
Yeah. Yeah. I love this.
70-year-old Alzheimer's patient is going to make a measured, a measured consumer's choice over what
I know. Oh, it's ridiculous. I love this line. Republicans are particularly angry about the timing of Gingrich's Meet the Press remarks because they came the day before Ryan was scheduled to make a high-profile defense of his budget plan speech in Chicago. Gingrich's attacks, as those Republicans say, make it much easier for Democrats to attack Ryan, too. I mean, it really is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I would not put much stock in Newt's moments of lucidity, but he did really scramble things for a couple of days. I'm starting to wonder now whether or not he's the guy who can bridge the gap between the crazies and the kind of run of the mill Republicans, if there are any of those left.
Right.
Because it's certainly not. I don't think it's going to be Romney, and I just don't see. It will take too long to butch up Tim Pawlenty.
Too big a job for anybody.
I mean, whatever Schwarzenegger used to be taking, you got to triple the dose.
Yeah.
The Michael Bay Top Gun commercials and talking about hockey fights, and then you see Tim Pawlenty, And it's, you know, I'm sorry, it just doesn't work.
Jim said long ago that we've already had plenty of him, I think, before it's even begun. Yes. And, of course, the big cliffhanger that who could have seen this coming except for, well, everyone.
After getting so many calls from Bob and from Steve and everybody, I've decided that we are going to continue onward with Celebrity Apprentice. We're going to continue making lots and lots of money for charity. I will not be running for president as much as I'd like to. And
I
want to
thank
everybody very much. Thank you very much.
Shouldn't he have been tipped off by the ovation that something was badly wrong?
Right. Yes, so when you get an ovation for not running, you know that, yeah.
Aren't you supposed to hire somebody to stand in the back of the room and go, no, no?
Oh, my God. He couldn't even tell the truth, Charlie. It is his statement. He actually said, despite being at the top of every poll, and he's like, what? No, you're not. You're at the bottom of every poll now. It's a remarkable implosion. And it's just like, what?
Well, I mean, it's another example of that weekend of badassery from the guy in the White House.
Yeah, yeah. I still could watch that.
Lots of things died that weekend, and one of them was Donald Trump's political persona.
I could watch that clip over and over, the Celebrity Apprentice finale getting cut into for the Bin Laden announcement. It's just, it's television history.
Well, Lawrence O'Donnell was dancing on people's graves last night. Did you see that? That was hilarious. He was calling out everyone who took Trump seriously.
Yeah, I know. Well, he was saying it from day one. All right, Charlie Pierce.
I know he's important to you. I know Lawrence is important to you.
He's
not as important as you, Charlie.
Not as important as you, but he is my porn.
I don't believe a word of that, but thank you for saying it. How was Syracuse, by the way?
Oh, it was awesome. Off the hook.
Did any like strange things from your past come out of the woodwork?
Oh, what are you kidding? Everything.
Yeah, a little Jenny Cream Ale.
They get me a little liquored up on Jenny Cream Ale. You don't know what I'll say.
Jenny Cream Ale, really? It's great because if you have enough of it and the tour bus runs out of gas, you don't have to worry about it.
All right, July 16th in Boston. I'm getting the Charlie Pierce thong ready.
Oh, that'll be great.
All right, babe.
I'll be moving to Guam.
Right. I love you. See you next week. Bye. Here he goes. Charlie
Pierce. Come to Guam.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party, 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah! 51 minutes after the hour, Jim checking the Rapture websites. Just to be sure, what time is the Rapture Saturday? Because
actually,
I'm not going to drive all the way to Long Beach to be, you know, Grand Marshal Gay Pride if I don't have to.
Book the final. It will end by May 27th, 2012.
Oh well.
So we got a little
according.
Time.
Wait a minute. According to what book?
I got to buy some more whiteout for my paper calendar because now I screwed that all up. Now I just put 21st.
2008. God's final witness.
Shouldn't the only book that predicts the end of the world be, you know, the Bible?
Well,
any other book, they're just making money.
What? You cynic.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You know, what with the Schwarzenegger news and all the other, you know, Republican family value stories, can I have some love music? Did you read this, the stories of Gabrielle Giffords watching?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, especially for us single losers. Oh, dear God. I mean, this is really is a love story. Sitting in a wheelchair atop NASA's Launch Control Center with other astronaut families, wounded Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords watched her husband launch into space, and she smiled. Then she said, good stuff, good stuff. Kelly took her wedding ring into space, which he has done on past flights. But this time she wanted something back, his ring, to stay on Earth. She had it around her neck on a silver chain. Relief was her biggest feeling, said her chief of staff. She was very proud. She's always proud of Mark. As is custom, Giffords again picked wake-up music for Kelly at least once while he's in orbit. Previously, she selected Beautiful Day from U2, which I love. Right after the launch, she was presented with red roses and a card from her husband. Oh, God. I can't. Oh. Her husband had told CBS, her personality is 100% there. It's difficult for her to walk. He said the communication skills are difficult at this point. No photos of the Giffords have been seen. She was kept out of sight, obviously, right. So people weren't gawking at her during the launch. Yeah. No photos ever been seen. According to an Arizona newspaper, her hair is short and there's a thin scar across her forehead. She wears a helmet to protect her head. A piece of her skull was removed to allow for swelling, so sure. I don't think that's been reattached yet. But anyway, what a great story. Oh, it's nice to hear a love story now and again, right?
Yep.
I mean, it makes me feel worse, but you know what I'm saying? It made me other people feel better.
You know what?
Just saying.
It just, it's striking that love stories like that always seem to come out of the Democrats.
Oh, and, now, let's
well,
not.
I mean...
We have our John Edwards, too.
Well, we do.
Which is, he set the bar for dirtbaggery,
okay,
I have to
he's
say.
He's probably the biggest...
I always send my chicks red roses before I dump them.
Yeah. By the way, nice breaking news out here from TMZ. Guess who Oprah's last guest will be?
Well, one of her last guests.
Yes, Maria Shriver.
Yes.
Nine!
Yes,
on the very last show that's
going to
be live.
Stop with the talking and the gabbing and the schmoozing and all of this.
Yes, I think we'll get some news then on whether, as Arnold Schwarzenegger said at the press conference, they're working toward reconciliation.
Mm.
I'm guessing that she'll have a few other thoughts for Oprah. All right.
And now.
And also Oprah is talking to Maria about having her own talk show on the Oprah Winfrey Network.
Really? So she'll have a lot more to talk about this whole thing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's the... So Oprah's last show is next Wednesday.
It's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting, won't it? Okay. Can I just tell you, I'm a woman of good... As you know, 2 to 3 minutes ahead of my time. Seal mania. I thought I was the only one that had seal mania, Navy seal mania.
Oh,
seal mania
you meant, like,
has
seal
ripped the nation. Pardon me?
Seal the singer.
Oh, what? What am I, Heidi Klum? No! Navy seals! Okay. Seal mania has officially gripped America. Oops. In the wake of the bin Laden raid, a growing number of Americans putting themselves through grueling fitness programs modeled after Navy SEAL workouts. See, I can tell when my next vacation is going to be, and I would do this stuff, because I'm an exerciseaholic. As interest in the elite military unit has soared since one of its teams, a lot of these people probably haven't been out of the Barca Lounger in years.
Yeah.
They're just like, I'm going to be a Navy SEAL now.
Gotta take
Here
it easy.
We go. Oh, yeah, just start slow, Skippy.
You know, don't start at the top. That's,
Everyone these days seems to be dreaming of what it's like to be a SEAL, know a SEAL, or at least look like one. Book publishers say they can't order enough printings of the memoirs of former SEALs fast enough, while people are dialing 1-800-HOOYAH.
What?
Like mad to get their hands on T-shirts emblazoned with the SEAL insignia and sayings like, when it absolutely positively must be destroyed overnight, call in the U.S. Navy SEALs. You know, macho T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Okay. Former Navy SEAL Commander Mark Devine said his business has been inundated with inquiries. He has NavySEALs.com SEAL Fit and U.S. CrossFit gyms in Encinitas. He said military candidates aren't showing greater interest, and people don't actually want to be Navy SEALs. They just want to pretend to be Navy SEALs. They don't want to actually have the danger that goes with it. I guess recruiting is not up at all for Navy SEALs in the wake of the Osama bin Laden thing. I love this. He said, certainly we've had a lot of cornballs who called for sure people who wouldn't stand a chance of making it through our choice. I want to be Navy SEAL!
I have to do what?
How many push-ups did I do? One?
I have to get
one,
off the couch.
If my left Lurleen pushes half of me up, I can get one. He sort of
maybe I have to stop going to the all-you-can-eat buffet? Oh, man.
Devine soon discovered even people who will never be a SEAL could benefit from his trainings, which run the gamut from daily hardcore workouts to a month-long live-in academy involving 10 hours of exercise 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Yikes.
You don't want to go straight from the Barca Lounger to that.
No.
You're going to drop dead.
Check out, this is better than band camp. The fittest can move on to SEAL Fit Camp, which is based on the Navy's Hell Week. People are paying for this. The defining moment for SEAL candidates who must endure more than 5 days of constant exercise, including swimming, running, sloughing through mud on fewer than 4 hours of sleep a day. This is exactly like my life. This is morning radio combined with my exercise addiction.
Why are people paying for this when they can join the Navy and get 3 hots in a cot and a paycheck?
Yeah, but then you might get shot. Campgoers exercise
for... Yes, you have
to
do stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Campgoers exercise for 50 hours without sleep and get to go on a mock SEAL-type mission.
Great.
Oh, my God, it's like paintball, but... I just love that story. All right. Listen, I have my next vacation booked.
Sure. They're not going to let
Navy
you drink
SEAL camp.
When you're at Navy SEAL camp.
See, yes, that's what I tend to do. There needs to be wine at the end. I'm like...
No,
yeah,
they don't
not
offer
just
that.
Me whining. I need actual wine at the end of the...
Yeah, they don't offer that in the Navy.
No?
No.
No. Rum, maybe. But...
All right.
Think we should have Jesse Ventura on to talk about the Navy SEAL.
That's right. He's the Navy SEAL, we know.
Former Navy SEAL.
Former Navy. Well, does it matter?
Well, we wouldn't know who he was if he was still a Navy SEAL.
No, we wouldn't. Or he'd have to shoot us in the eye. 58 minutes after the hour. Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Emily White. Emily's angsty yet hopeful lyrics combined with complex melodies for unforgettable music. Visit emily-white.com, emily-white.com for information on shows and CDs. If you'd like to sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, go to stephaniemiller.com. Check out the sponsorship page. You can also email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller, like fine American Janet did. Fresh from the Sexy Liberal Show in Syracuse, New York, ladies and gentlemen. Woohoo! Steph, what a great night in Syracuse. I did not jump up and admit to listening to Bread on 8-Track. I did. Because
baby,
I was back
I'm
in...
Want you?
On 8-Track in my boyfriend's 68 GTX. Oh, chick magnet car. Because I was struck motionless by the realization that I could still remember the song order after you said a couple of the song titles. I was reminiscing about dry humping with, Tommy Nicholson to Baby, I'ma Want You. And also, It Don't Matter to Me, my two personal favorites. The 8-Track was my favorite, and the mushy songs would always make me tear up because I loved him so much. I probably wouldn't tear up now because 15 years later, as I figured out what a bastard he was. See, Bread was before all your romantic dreams were crushed. I want to find out Mother Freedom for my iPod. Oh, Mother Freedom. I love that one. That's, come on. That's down the... I'd forgotten all of Proud. I'm pretty sure it was between If and Down on My Knees.
Oh, God.
Well, we're down on the news party.
Come on. Play some Bread, Chris. All useful songs for the SMO show. Can I please be the SMS show? Can I please be the official pediatric speech pathologist?
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 Wow, you need some speech pathologist.
I'm for sure of the Stephanie Miller Show. Could you gling me, please, with some box wine and Jenny Cream Ale on top? All right, Janet in Swain, New York.
As long as it comes with a denouement.
Shush! By the way, just another millions of emails from Marianne saying that Steph, Mama is right and Mooks are wrong. Tell Chris and Jim they're absolutely wrong when they say there's no east side of Chicago. My husband grew up on the east side. It's the community bordered by the Calumet River, 126th Street in Indiana. It's about 13 miles south of downtown. My husband and I would be happy to give you a tour of the east side. When we come to Chicago with the Sexy Liberal Show, June 25th, that'll be the night that...
Chicago. Laugh.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Don't forget to get your sexy on. Tickets are going fast. Raleigh-Durham, Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Chicago, June 25th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Speaking of sexy liberals.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, that gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. I'm always giddy with excitement when my BFF is here.
Coming here so much, it puts me, it undoes the private mood that I was in when I just scraped myself out of bed. Radio is really like a specific skill.
The only,
this whole early in the morning thing.
Of all the things we love about Aisha, the thing I love best, Jim, is that her self-esteem is possibly lower than mine. She described her face as cadaverous this morning.
So you get up in the morning and you think, today's the day I'm going to look in the mirror and a dead person will not be staring back at me saying, brains.
brains.
So tragic.
Yeah, and that's the main word I've heard people use to describe it as cadaverous.
Uh-huh. The tall and cadaverous Aisha Tyler. And also going through like a rebirth of my eighth grade skin, which is populated. Woke up this morning. I was like, oh, hey, maybe I have a Jamba Juice in the morning because my skin looks like it did when I was in middle school, like so broken out.
And, I think with the tour stress, I've started to get a little.
Right?
Yeah.
I was just in Chicago, and touring does it. You know, you don't sleep. The plane air is.
It's like being back in college.
Full of bubonic plague.
And getting your braces tightened.
That is exactly. I got my headgear on.
Did you have the headgear?
No, I did not have headgear. I was actually I did not have braces. I had all kinds of other ostracizing and pariah making items going on. The tallness. Yes, the seven foot tallness, the only being blackness, the poor familyness, and the vegetarianness. So I had all those things going for. I didn't eat headgear.
Sorry,
I had a tofu. That's what I had.
I could beat that and raise you.
Gilding the lily.
I looked like an Armenian man with a unibrow. I had gray fangs, and I had the braces and the what are those things? Oh, the rubber bands.
The rubber bands
would shoot out at people when you talk. You know,
you know what's interesting is like back then braces were kind of nerdy, but now I feel like kids have made them cool. Like my little niece had like purple braces.
Oh.
And pink bands. And
yeah, now they wear it proudly.
Yeah, they're like, bring it, orthodontia, biatches.
Back then, you just start weeping the moment you
Braced face! Tensile
did!
So cruel!
Fortunately, I only had to wear the headgear at night.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Not to school. So, can we just talk? I don't know what you guys have been talking about all morning. Can we talk about the fact that Schwarzenegger has a secret love child?
The Sperminator!
Yeah. Oh, my God!
Sperminator 2 coming soon.
Things of this nature.
It's always exciting when, like, the news is coming out in dribs and drabs.
Yeah.
Right? They're married, then they're breaking up, then there's a magical baby.
And a couple people ask me, just by virtue of living in California, like, I'll know. Like, what's that all about? And I'm like, if you've heard the rumors of the year,
Are we shocked? Are we surprised? Yeah. I mean, he spent like his 20s doing blow off of like, you know, bodybuilders, you know, pectoral muscles.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, literally like, you know, just smoking fistfuls of dope.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be surprised in any way.
And there was the groping and the fondling. and all of this.
These things right there.
things like this.
But, Maria,
remember all the times I said things of this nature?
Sit down. You know what the nature of the things of this nature
are. These are the things.
I'm going to touch you in your special place on these things.
Right, listen, you're only here in hour three. We've already been all
this. This is not a tumor. It is a baby.
You know what I should do?
This a divorce.
I shouldn't get up 5 minutes before I have to get here. I might know what you guys have been talking about. I mean, honestly, I wish that I actually had Charlie Sheen's life because I wake up like he does. You know what I mean? I don't actually do any of the fun things. I just, you know, stay up late playing Zombies versus Plants, and then I scrape myself out of bed 5 minutes before I have to be in the studio. Have you guys been talking about politics? Have you been doing all day? What's going on? Anyway, I'm happy to be here. So happy.
Yeah.
Always happy to be here.
And the other thing is that Maria is going to be on Oprah's last show next Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Cue the tears.
Oh, God.
You get a bastard child. You get a bastard child. You get a bastard child. That was just mean.
Oh, boy. Chicago, what do you call it? Oprah got a street in Chicago.
You get a street. You know what had happened, and people tweeted me. I was like, are they giving out streets for black women? Because why are you writing me about it? Oprah got a street. Aisha, what's up with you? I'm down here next to a hobo trying not to get urinated on. Is that the same thing?
She has a street, but that doesn't make her street.
She's definitely not street.
No.
She's definitely not street.
No.
I was saying that Oprah got honored by Chicago with her own street, and I got honored by Chicago by getting the finger from a cabbie. And it's almost the same thing.
He was saying you're number one.
He was.
He was telling me,
let the eagle soar.
Actually, that would make you number three, if you're counting.
Let the eagle soar.
Oh,
yes.
Oh
my God.
Zoe
now. And, of course, the other big political story, cliffhanger, a shocking news to no one, Donald Trump not running for president.
Oh, gosh. It's so funny because...
Huge disappointment.
Huge. I actually got to tell you, I think it would be great if you ran. I would like a Trump-Palin ticket, after which the earth will crack in half and all of its juice will leak out into the universe. That would be so great. It would just be like, literally, like, this is it. This is the seventh seal. It has been opened. You know, his hair flops up and demons just come flapping out. You know what I mean? Tiny demons. Blah, blah, blah,
tiny
blah.
Demons.
I'll tell you, what was so delicious.
I've heard a lot of speculation about what's under Donald Trump's comb over, but this is the first time I've heard tiny demons, I must say. Tiny demons.
Cute little demons. What was so savory, and yet I feel a little premature, was like that huge expose in the New York Times about all the people that were suing him for, you know, like, robbing them. And him saying, like, I don't have to give back their money. You know, it's like, you know, licking a baby limb. You know what I mean? He's like eating a roasted baby limb. I just wish that he could have announced and then that stuff would have come out. It would have just been so much more of a dashing, crushing defeat, you know?
I wish he were running. You know why? Because Newsbuster would have that today. Aisha Tyler left the actress, Aisha Tyler, on the Stephanie Miller Show, accused Donald Trump of having tiny demons under his hair while he chewed on a baby limb.
Not classy. Not classy at all. You're not a classy
person. Hugely not classy.
Because just like her saying she was going to kick Michelle Malkin in the nutsack, she was completely serious
so
about
serious.
That.
Always earnest. Yes. I live a life of pure earnesty at all times. It's nothing but ingenuousness at my house.
All right. Wow. Celebrity sack. Lady Gaga arrived on stage in a gold coffin wearing a prosthetic pregnant stomach. That's exactly how I made my entrance this morning. Now that we have Ustream. Philly. During her song Judas, she wore an eye mask and a crucifix attached to her pants. You know what that means, Chris. Bill Donahue is right now, as we speak, being booked on television somewhere.
Somewhere.
I swear to God, I think he has a deal with the pop stars. He gives them these ideas so that then he can get television bookings.
She's mysterious. Can we be shocked anymore? Can anything be shocking at all?
No, I know.
I'm just shocked by how kind of strange and confusing she is. You know what I mean? Like, that's shocking. What does it mean?
I don't understand it. I would be shocked if I understood what it meant.
Occasionally I start to feel like somebody's mom. I don't even have kids. I'm like, so what? Why does she make herself look so unattractive? She's such a pretty girl. Maybe some lip gloss. Why so? The cover of her new thing, she looks like an alien.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, who is it? Keisha, we decided, has really jumped.
Kesha has jumped the attention.
She wears a necklace made of her own placenta.
Because oh, God.
It helps her. Her psychic
that
abilities.
Her mother saved for her for the last...
Didn't yours?
Oh, good Lord. I was born before refrigeration. Let me ask. I don't know her, but she's the most ungracious person. She was on Conan the other day, and he told her she was beautiful, and she goes, "Puh, I've heard that before."
Could you believe someone say that?
That is the rudest response.
At least you, as beautiful as you are, have the decency to say, no, I look like a cadaver.
You're so sweet. I couldn't even imagine a situation in which that would be an okay response to you look beautiful.
Suck on this, Conan. I mean, it was like so rude.
I was shocked. I've officially crossed the line of adulthood where I'm shocked by young people.
That's so rude.
Oh, my goodness.
She's poorly raised. That's what the mom saved the placenta, but not her manners.
Yeah, I just talked to my mom yesterday. She was going to send me some letters that I wrote her because I'm working on a book. And she did not mention, oh, by the way, Steffi, I have your placenta in the same
I'm
box.
Sorry I hadn't mentioned it to you, but I've got it saved up here next to the dry flowers from prom and your baby shoes.
I'm waiting for the placenta to release a record. See if
all right.
Better than, which should be hard. Thankfully.
18 minutes after the hour. We continue Tuesdays with Tyler, the so cadaverous. Exciting. Cadaverous.
The cadaverous. The tall and cadaverous. Aisha
Tyler. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Okay.
It's so exciting. Oh gosh, the commercial breaks.
Discussing my disastrous love life and Aisha Tyler's very long, happy marriage to her college sweetheart.
We're going to be 17 on Saturday.
Oh, that's great for you.
After seeing all my friends date, especially in the business, he literally has like a little leg beeper thing. Like he's never getting away. He zaps him if he gets away, like more than a state away from me. He's on house arrest.
That was very romantic. Aisha just goes, yeah, I'm not letting that mother get away.
No way. No, I follow him. He's down in the garage. I'm lurking. Where are you going? What are you doing? Are you talking to other people?
What are you thinking?
Doing stuff?
What are you doing?
And no, he's not getting away.
Are you looking at things other than me?
Yeah, are you talking to people or breathing air? And that's not my air.
Do you do that Robert De Niro thing, Tim? Every time I'm watching you. I am watching you. I will take you down.
Last time he went to get gas, he looked under the car. And I was clinging there by my belt.
See, now a lot of women coming home this morning going, honey, I just have one question. Do you haven't, by any chance, ever knocked up any of the household help, have
exactly.
you?
Exactly. About only hire homely, large, possibly transsexual help. That's just, make sure that they could look feminine, but they don't actually have the plumbing. That's that would be, Chaz Bono maybe could use a job.
Oh,
and
dear.
You can't get,
oh,
I'm
dear.
Just saying, you can't, can, I guess you can get her pregnant. Okay, never mind. I take it back. Wrong top and bottom. I need to think of somebody. I need to think of somebody from the
Aisha Drag Race. Louise Tyler. Stop talking now. All right. Listen, this has been a weird political sex scandal. Mitch Daniels, some more fun facts from Peter in Libertyville. Staff, besides the wacky boomerang wife story, I'll tell you that in a second.
Oh, boy.
And driving Indiana into the ground, we also can't forget he was Bush's budget director who said the Iraq war would cost $50 to $60 billion. By the way, it's $3 trillion at this count.
God.
So he's not good at the counting
no,
so much.
Not so much.
Remember when Lawrence Lindsay, Bush's top advisor, had said it would cost as much as $200 billion, and Daniel said, that was crazy. That's crazy. That would be as crazy as my wife. So Mrs. Daniels, did you hear the story? She left him and the four children and moved to California and married another guy in the 90s, and then she left him and came back.
Wow.
And it is Mrs. Mitch Daniels again.
That's, that is fascinating.
That's, yes.
That you rarely hear
kind
about
of an
that.
Awkward.
Yeah, it's a little, hey, so.
There's a little knock at the door.
So, hey, guys. How's
Mommy's
it going?
Home.
How's it going? What have you been doing?
Mommy's home.
How was middle school and high school and the first 2 years of college? Glad I made you some pancakes, sweetie. You seem angry. Angry about something? You upset?
Do you think she tried to just getting out of the shower like Bobby in Dallas?
What?
Mommy never left. Why go crazy?
You're acting like a nut. I'm going to diaper your 8-year-old. Oh, he's out of diapers, apparently. Just noticed that.
I wonder if that ever comes up in family gatherings after some wine.
Right.
Hey, Mom, yeah, remember that time you...
You went up
with left your husband married another guy! Oh, dear. That's awkward.
It is awkward. On the other hand, it's the first time that, like, you know... It seems like in the political world, people are just always kind of cascading into you know what I mean, into dust. It's nice that they got it all together again. Yeah. Maybe she just thought, oh, that guy was so young, it was exhausting. I couldn't keep up with him. I mean, you know, your father, yeah. like, once every other month, but this guy, like, once a month, I couldn't do it. You know
or did
I mean?
She try, like, other things first? Like, you would not believe how hard it was to find parking. You heard I went where? No.
That's crazy.
Mommy, was at the Safeway trying to find us.
The mall. I was in line at Pink Berry.
You know how long the Pinkberry line is. You know how you kids love it.
And then when you get up there, it's just yogurt. Why is everybody so excited?
What the hell?
It's just yogurt.
It's a little sour tasting.
They know I was abducted by aliens, but that's another
all
story.
All right, it's the story. Michael in Chicago, you're on with Aisha Tyler. Hi, Mike.
Yes, guys. Hi. I was wondering, these guys that are really smart, or you think might be like Schwarzenegger and even John Edwards, very wealthy kind of accomplished
yeah.
guys.
Yeah.
Did they nobody ever talked about condoms?
You are I know. Really, you're speaking the truth.
Yeah, I know. You go,
yeah,
you're fooling around.
Men.
Yeah. How are you
men.
Knocking people up?
I don't understand.
Exactly.
It's not like it's the difficult technology. It doesn't require like electronics or like a manual to use. It's a
yeah.
pretty thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not.
And Hal Sparks, our sexy liberal friend, he has a good plan for wearing condoms. He gets the ribbed condom. And wears them inside out.
There you go. Yes.
He said, rim for her pleasure. Screw that. It's for my pleasure. See, so you'd think they could at least think of that.
I just imagine walking around with it on all the time. Like, in case an emergency pops up. Literally. But you know what's interesting to me, and I, without being too personal or any more personal than I've been so far this morning, I've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
I've never been pregnant by accident, and I am married. Do you know what I mean? I am married, and I've never been like, whoops. You know
right.
what I mean? So what is this like, sleeping with someone who's not your wife
right.
and being like, well, let's just see what happens.
You see what, let's just spin the
roll
wheel.
Roll the dice.
Like, this isn't risky behavior to begin with.
Right,
let's just wait.
Right. Well,
unfortunately.
Let's do blow and ecstasy and get drunk and then just see what comes up.
It's called Austrian roulette.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
crazy.
I'm not prominent in any way.
No, no one
I'm
will
sure
notice.
This will never.
No one will be interested in the result of this activity.
It's like Tiger Woods. Beep. Hi, it's Tiger. Woods, you know the famous golfer. This isn't being recorded, is it?
Hi, this is Tiger. If you could delete this message and all other messages on this phone, the 30 or 40 messages I've sent
man.
You, including the ones where I talked dirty and talked about pulling your hair and biting you. That's always classy stuff. We'd like to hear that on the internet.
29 minutes after the hour. Rita Cosby next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Who wants my hot black box of coffee?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Who is that? This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Well, you know that I normally hang a sign outside when Aisha Tyler's here that says, when the studio's rocking, don't come knocking.
Don't come knocking.
Because, you know, I don't like my Aisha time, but I would let one person in the fort. And that would be Rita Cosby, our old friend. Good morning, Rita Cosby.
Good morning, my dear friend. I'm so glad to be with you. I adore Stephanie Miller, everybody. You are awesome, my friend.
Aw.
She's awesome.
I adore you back. Your book, Quiet Hero, Secrets from My Father's Past, is out in paperback.
It is out in paperback, and it is doing gangbusters. And most importantly, it's helping our troops and their families, because I am focusing tremendously on post-traumatic stress, especially with troops and their families. As you know, my father went through it. My father was a prisoner of war.
Yep.
Never talked about it for 65 years. And, you know, this is a topic I know that's, you know, close to your family. And so many of these guys never talk about it. And the guys who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
The greatest generation, Tom Brokaw, so they didn't talk about it.
They never talked about it. And I feel, you know, it's been a blessing for me and a gift for me, Stephanie, to now give back. And proceeds from Quiet Hero, I hope everybody goes to, it's the website is quiethero.org, quiethero.org. You can find out how you can help the troops. And proceeds from the book go to troops and their families to help give back and to say thank you to these brave Americans and their families, too, who suffer so much when they're away and when they come back and have stress and have not just physical injuries, but a lot of emotional injuries, too.
And your dad's story was really incredible. He fought Nazis as a teenage resistance fighter. He escaped from the sewers weighing 90 pounds. He was 6 feet tall. I mean, it really is an incredible story.
It's an amazing story, and it's a story of survival, and I think, you know, universal human spirit. I've had, you know, since you and I talked, I've been all over the country helping our troops and speaking all over, you know, all over the world. And at every event I've had, Stephanie, people coming over in tears, and a lot of them have been daughters and sons of, you know, fathers who were off in battle, and they never could have that connection with them and didn't understand why. And then I've also had people who just had a disconnected relationship with a family member, a friend, and said, this book has helped them heal. This book has also help them reunite with their loved ones. And to me, what a cool thing to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people get the book. It'll inspire them as much as it's inspired me to be a part of this journey.
And, you know, I think particularly timely in that, you know, we have such a wave of gratitude for these Navy SEALs, took out Bin Laden. And I love, they sent me your stuff. And, I people know you as a journalist for so long. And you have a lot of firsts. You were the first to report that Bin Laden was behind the 9/11 attacks. In fact, you've been so many firsts that I often suspect that you're involved in some way in the various things you've reported, because you're
Laden, for the record, I was not his 20th wife, okay?
You somehow have too much information too soon, Rita Cosby, and I don't know
what's funny. I always was fascinated, and I always am, with intelligence and terrorism. And when 9/11 happened, I was a senior correspondent for Fox Network at the time, but my beat, you know, you just kind of always find things that are intriguing to you, and I was always hearing about this guy Bin Laden. This is well before 9/11, and so when 9/11 hit, of course, I called my contacts, you know, the government that I knew, and right away they already had all this intel and were preparing and thinking there was something up with Bin Laden and something up in Afghanistan and Pakistan and all these areas. So it wasn't, you know, obviously everybody was caught off guard, but they had a lot of background on this guy, and I had a lot of background, and that's why, you know, I was so zoomed into everything that was happening.
And you did an exclusive with Musharraf at the time, right after 9/11, where I love it's described as, after hesitation, he said he would side with America.
And by the way,
if he ever builds a giant compound, we'll definitely be able to find him.
10 years from now, we're going to be right in your doorstep. And that was the biggest, you know, when I did this interview with him right after 9/11 with then, you know, Pakistani President Musharraf, and I said to him, are you going to side with us or Bin Laden? If we ask you to go in after Bin Laden, this is right after 9/11, will you help us?
And did he say, side? How do you mean side? What do you mean?
Yes, it was like, and I remember thinking, as an American, please say you're going to help us. And then finally he said, oh, of course I'm going to help America. But he had to think about it for that brief moment, and that just moment there, I think, said it all.
You traveled to Afghanistan. You were near Bin Laden's original hideout in Tora Bora.
So remote, Stephanie. So remote. And I'll tell you, this area.
I just love you
so
crawling through caves in Tora Bora. I love that visual.
Don't you love it? It's a very glamorous career. And I had such respect for our men and women out there on the front lines. And when you go out there and you see how desolate it is and how, like, unforgiving the terrain. I've been in a lot of difficult places, you know, in my career, you know, covering wars and everything else. Afghanistan is so barren. And, I covered it a lot as a journalist, but when I went out there and saw it, it's such a different experience. You just go, oh, my goodness. It's like mountain ranges.
Yeah.
There's barely, there's no way to cover it full blanket and really do it properly. And obviously we tried to do our best. And
well, I always said,
finally got them.
I always said at the time that they should not have outsourced it to Afghan warlords, but to you, because you always you seem to get the story. I'm just saying.
Get Stephanie Miller and Rita Cosby. We would have done it.
I think exactly. I always said either Navy SEALs or Rita Cosby is going to get this guy.
We would have lured him out. We would have lured
him out. Right. All right. The book is Quiet Hero, Secret from My Father's Past. Rita, always a pleasure. Congratulations on the success of the book.
Thank you so much, my friend. Great to talk to you.
Talk to you again soon. There she goes. It's Rita Cosby.
That was awesome.
I mocked her for years, and then she turns out to be delightful. That's the thing about
just every day of my life. Just mocking someone, and then, hey, there you are. Hi. Sorry. Were you standing by me this whole time? Whoops. I was speaking ironically.
I was just joking.
Was talking.
Okay. All right.
We didn't use the helicopter sound effect in the background.
No, Rita Cosby. Well, because for whatever reason, the first few times I saw her, there was always a helicopter. Wherever she was, there was, I'm outside the courthouse.
I've been dropped into the ball in one tail here, and
why is the helicopter always following me?
Was she up for Jim's job on, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? I'm going in to interview the wildebeest now.
Well, I'm sitting in the trailer having a martini. Jim is out wrestling the lion.
Dopey Jim.
I loved that show so much.
Me too.
Oh my, I was like, I couldn't wait. Sunday night, 7 o'clock.
Uh-huh. Yeah, was Jim a dope or just brave? I don't know.
A little bit of both.
I'll be here in the safety of the helicopter having a Mai Tai, as Jim said. All right. There's kind of a high bar out here for celebrities when you get pulled over for a DUI after Mel Gibson and Nolte.
Yeah.
And
you got to bring it.
You got to bring it. You got to bring
out,
some,
man. Yeah.
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 Rick Springfield. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Just, kind of mild.
Bad hobo horn.
America's favorite bad boy. What?
Rick.
No.
Rick Springfield threatened to kill a deputy sheriff and the deputy's family the night he was arrested for drug driving.
Oh, Lord.
But there's nothing racist, homophobic, nothing. That's it.
That's all. Just a generalized threat of murder.
No.
But no, yes.
No,
no
hamburgers off the floor.
Just boring, really. No isms in there. Not one.
He was extremely angry after the police said they were going to tow his Corvette Stingray.
Back to 1986 where he got it.
back to when he had a career. I got to tow this thing right back. Anyway, he said, if you tow my car, I will fuck.
I knew
I was going to do that one of those times.
It was F-A with the umlaut. That's what she just said. F-A,
sorry.
Umlaut.
I actually read that. He said, I will kill you and your family. That's what he said.
Wow.
That's
what I got to tell you something. First of all, what's he drinking? I don't remember the last time I had a couple of drinks and then threatened to murder a bunch of people.
Yeah.
I mean, you've really got to be double blind drunk to be that. Usually you're just like, I don't like you.
Yeah,
but
I know.
You gotta be loopy.
No, that's the whole argument you get into every time, whether it's Mel Gibson or does alcohol really make you racist and homophobic if you're not?
Exactly.
I mean, does it
stop drinking racist high life? That might be the first.
You can just as Jim, I just get way overly affectionate and just no sense of spatial relations.
Yeah, or sleepy.
Jim, love you. You're the best thing.
Good, right?
Happened
to me. I'm never full of rage. I'm always like, let's hug. Let's hug, and we could play some Xbox. We could lie down. It ends with me in bed with all my clothes on. It always ends nicely. You know what I mean? And a cup of tea.
I just usually fall asleep on Jim and start drooling on his arm. All right,
that's
I gotta
love.
Go.
That's if you tow my car, I'm gonna drool all over you and your entire family.
Jim, I will hug you again.
I
don't
will
make
hug
me
you up.
Corey, I would like. I would. I just feel like everyone should. If you're gonna have like a massive public blow up.
Yeah.
Just do some writing first. Do just some pre-concepting.
Yeah.
What am I gonna say? How am I gonna deliver it?
Yes.
And then just bust out an index card. I mean, if you're gonna go out spectacularly.
Yeah. You're gonna state.
I'm gonna blankety kill you and your entire family. It's just not very original. You know what I mean? It's just not that interesting. You know, that's not going to get you on the cover of any newspapers. Come on now, Springfield.
I think that the police out there said, you know, drunks are notoriously say things to law enforcement that they're just used to that.
Right.
That would be a book, wouldn't it? Some cop should write a book about everything
really
that's been said to him by a drunk.
Right. Listen, I'm going to tase you right after I eat this burger.
The second most entertaining book after people that work in emergency rooms and things, they found up people's hoo-has and popos.
Is that a whole book? I usually leave immediately to get on the internet. Is there something like that? Oh, God, I would read that in a heartbeat.
Sure is. Well, we have people call all the time, don't we, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
When we do a story like that. I worked in a whatever, and you wouldn't believe what
people put into their popo?
Both. Any. Uh-huh.
That's the medical
any
term,
place.
Ladies
so
and gentlemen.
You sat on a light bulb. Right.
Uh-huh.
Sure. That's all the time.
I think this rash of stories, Jim, began with the vicar. You remember
vicar.
That story?
Yes.
He had to have a well. He fell on a potato because he was hanging curtains naked. Was
yes.
what his story was.
That was his story.
Uh huh.
He fell on a potato.
And it wound
a potato
lodged up his.
Yeah.
And it got all the way in there.
Yeah.
Or
mm-hmm.
the condom on it.
You have to fall on it at just the right angle.
Uh-huh. And then again, you have to fall on it repeatedly.
Should I make the mashed potatoes first or hang the curtains while I'm nude?
And isn't it amazing that this potato was sitting vertically on the carpet?
Yes. How do you
precisely what? The right angle? Oh, Vicar, you're such such a fun guy.
You're a scamp. You really are.
An imp.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the Scotiamore Celebrity Stack and much more. Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
And she's loving him with that body. I just know it. And he's holding her in his arms late at night. You know I wish that I...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Chick Day.
We're dancing.
Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
Dancing, and thank God the camera's not on me because honestly, would just disprove the theorem
about
all of
us
being able to dance. Seriously, I'm just.
What is that?
Scientific
is that the
proof.
Robot or the electric boogaloo? What
that
are you
we
doing?
We cannot all dance. I don't know what that was. That was just a grand mall. Maybe it was a petite mall. It wasn't a grand mall, but it was pretty bad. They were running to get a wooden spoon to put in my mouth.
Exactly. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, boy. This is. Wow. Pennsylvania man busted for trading tattoo work for sex. He's been in jail after allegedly trading tattoo work for sex and other sex-related charges involving a 15-year-old girl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's when,
at first,
that's
I thought,
when the, oh, you got a tattoo, that's not the worst part of the story.
Right.
How'd you
right.
afford the tattoo?
So it's interesting because when you first read that, I thought, well, I guess that could be a fair trade on the barter, except, and then wah, wah,
yeah.
the end of the sentence. Yeah.
Suddenly gets
yeah,
lost.
So sad. Oh, no.
I love this story. Can I just say, because this is one of my pet peeves now that I'm on the road, much to my surprise.
Grueling and dragging your bottom all over the United States.
It's people talking really loudly on planes on their cell phone.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
When you get old and crotchety and you want to go back to the day when we didn't have cell phones and you had to wait until you got home to have loud personal conversations.
All the way home. Not like when you landed, but all the way into your home.
Oh, I'm always next to the person that's talking really loudly right up until the plane takes off and then mm-hmm. the second you land.
And you're giving him the glares. Hey, you are compromising the safety of this flight. You put your electronics away right now, mister. We are taxiing. This is uncalled for. That's always how
this
I feel.
Salem, Oregon. Salem police stopped an Amtrak train on Sunday afternoon after reports a woman threatened other passengers when they complained she was speaking too loudly on her cell phone.
She threatened them. I will blankety kill you and your entire family if you don't let me finish this conversation.
Police said she got into a verbal altercation with passengers on the train. The other passengers complained she refused to put down her cell phone even after train staff made repeated announcements for passengers not to use their cell phone.
Wow.
When a passenger confronted about her loud talking, she got aggressive. She reportedly had been talking nonstop on the phone since getting on the train in Oakland.
And where were they?
Anyway, Becky, you're not going to believe this. So he says, to me.
Oh, my God. When I was in Sweden, I was on a bus, and there was, like, a little Swedish girl behind me talking like that, like, nonstop. I was like, honestly, you're 15. There's not enough going on in your life to have this long of a conversation. And I love Sweden, and that made me hate the Swedish language. I was like, oh, my God, if I have to hear this person talk about herring one more time, I'm going to
this woman, explode. It sounds like that scene in Airplane. People are just lining up with weapons.
Exactly. Machete. A stick with nails punched through it. I have a very, very quick plane story. So I was just in Chicago, and on the way back, and I'm sorry, I apologize in advance for the story. It's early in the morning.
Yes.
There was a man who had the most intense and fragrant quality about him.
Oh,
his BO was so... I tweeted, I said, the man on the plane had such bad BO, I woke up speaking Aramaic. He didn't just wake the dead, he woke a dead language. He was so smelly. It was like, it was confusing. You know, normally someone's sweaty, that's sweaty. I was like, what is that smell?
Oh, dear
have
God.
Is there a cleft in the fabric of time and space? It was unbelievable. And he was unconcerned. He didn't look upset or ashamed about the fact that, you know, he had literally poisoned an entire plane full of people. No, forget sarin gas. Just... Yeah. 2B. Just bring 2B over. Use him as a weapon. The man in 2B. Make him finish his omelet and then take him, rendition that dude over to Pakistan. War over, man.
Game over, man.
Game over. That's, oh, my God.
Just brought him in the Bin Laden compound. I give up. What is that?
Just send him in there, you know, and then 5 minutes later, just all the teacups just clatter to the ground.
Jim, that's how we could have taken him alive. Just, right?
The porn on repeat and one man standing.
All right. A little more celebrity stack. Oh, we have to give a yay. Mary Tyler Moore recovering nicely from brain surgery.
Oh, wonderful.
She had a benign tumor, and it was removed. And
it's an extraordinary tumor, too. I mean, these tumors are pretty common in older people. But apparently the surgery is relatively routine.
Yeah.
That's scary, though, isn't it? You know you have to stay awake for that stuff.
Do you think the anesthesiologist was just hoping?
Yes.
No.
Brain surgery, almost in every case, you are completely awake because they want to make sure they don't, like, dig out the wrong part.
Right. Oh, that's like operation.
Yeah, it is like operation. Sorry. That's exactly it. So they go, like, you know, they have a little like thing, and they poke you. How about now? Are you okay?
Better,
and they talk to you the whole time.
Better or worse?
Because if you all of a sudden, go like, boogity, boogity, cheese, then they know that, like, they poked you on the spot.
Boogity cheese is the safe word for brain surgery.
Exactly. I'm tapping out, Doc. Boogity boogity cheese.
I would just love to give anything to hear Mary Tyler Moore say that. Boogity cheese.
So yeah, they talk to you the whole time. Isn't that alarming?
Oh.
You don't feel anything.
Right.
I feel like there are no nerve endings in your brain, but you are anesthetized in some way. But still, dude, you know what I mean?
You like, hit the spunk portion.
Like, I'm alarmed when they're, like, hammering me on the knee with the rubber hammer. You know what I mean? I'm like, I feel weird.
No.
So, yeah, I can't imagine.
All right.
But she's doing well. Hooray.
Hmm? Yes.
Great that she's doing well.
Yes.
Yeah, so happy.
You know who is not doing well? And this is very sad news because we got talking about this the other day. Guess who has died? Norma Zimmer, the champagne lady from Lawrence Welk.
Oh, wow. I didn't know any of the things that you were talking about in that whole sentence. I just blacked out for a minute. It was before my time.
It's our lovely champagne lady, Norma Zimmer. And a one and a two. All right, just me. I'm old. Okay, whatever.
Okay. It's all right. You just have a lovely... You have a pocket of vintage.
You never watched Lawrence Welk?
No, I never did. No. That was for Caucasians.
Oh, I know how we...
That's
why we made the analogy, because we said, Trump or whoever forcing the president to show his birth certificate, it was like making the black man tap dance, like the guy on Lawrence Welk.
The one guy.
There was a tap dancing guy that all the white people would be like, oh, man, tap dance, come back.
Go, hurdy-gurdy.
We actually watched an old clip of it. He was playing a tap dancing black milkman, and all the white people looked scared. They were like, "We'll just hand the milk in. I'm not going to open the door for a black man. I don't care if you're a good teaser.
Please leave it on the step and step away.
Tap dance backwards.
I put a farthing in the mailbox. Feel free to retrieve it.
Jerry Seinfeld says he was inspired by the Beatles to call it quits while his television show was at its peak.
Okay. Why is this news? It was like 10 years ago.
I don't know.
He says, sitting on a giant pile of money in his cavernous home.
I think the giant pile of money may have meant something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you know what? David and Victoria Beckham are going to be... have you ever seen that? This is why dogs kill their owners. All the pictures of dogs dressed up?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Dressed up as dolls.
Yeah. They have a new pet puppy. They got a French bulldog who they named Scarlett. They're hopeful that he'll become friends with their bulldog, Coco. Victoria apparently dresses Coco up very extravagantly. Yeah, on Halloween.
I feel so much boiling rage about this story.
On Halloween, she dressed in a Halloween-themed necklace wearing a bright pink bow with her nails painted red.
Can I just, I'm just going to liberal out on you right now. I'm just going to be like
I'm the glad she
crunchy,
didn't eat the puppy.
Reeking of like sprouted wheat berries. I'm just going to get all progressive. There are people dying of hunger in the world, starving. Starving, ripped limb from limb by other human beings, and you are spending money painting your dog's nails. I honestly want to throttle you. I'm going to blankety kill you and your entire family if I see your dog with painted nails. Come on!
Have you seen pictures
donate
of Victoria
that money to charity. Give it to a hobo. Yes. Anything.
She's one of the starving people.
We are in two wars right now. Stop buying a little house on the prairie dress for your bulldog.
It makes me so angry. Like, you jewelry, you put jewelry on your dog.
That's the thing she's eating dirt. That's the thing she's gotten the most passionate about this morning.
Oh, my God. I'm sweating over here. Let's see what letters we get up about that. Aisha, crazy liberal Aisha Tyler, threatens to kill Victoria Beckham.
See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.